You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have Film Bookcast, the official podcast of filmbook.com.
Nice, Mike. Good job.
My name is Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is the podcasting heavyweight champion of Long Island.
Mike DiCrescio.
How you doing today, Mike?
Good, good. You know, I feel great after my last podcast fight. It's an honor to be here.
Right. Well, after we won the podcast games.
Right. That's kind of in a slump right now. There's no one left.
It was the next natural step for you to just go into podcast fights.
Yes.
What goes into a podcast fight, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Well, basically, we sit down from across from each other and we record episodes of our individual podcasts.
At the same time.
Yeah, and whoever lasts longer than the other person wins.
Okay. What if your podcast is better when it's shorter? Like, what if it's, like, you know...
Sucks like, for that guy, I guess.
Like a half hour. Okay, fair enough. Just whoever can talk the longest wins.
Basically.
All right.
Who can ever express the most opinions for the longest amount of time and also solve a true crime story, then you win.
Right. Okay. Terrific. Well, now, normally in Film Bookcast, we do some film news, some discussions, and then a featured review. But today, Mike
and
I...
We're going to solve a true crime story.
Right. Serial Season 3, starting right now. The People versus O.J. Simpson. What really happened that day? You know, Mike...
We're going to tell you.
You know, Mike, we saw the Bronco.
God damn it.
But we were not in the Bronco.
You're right.
Well, today, rather than do a true crime story, that's next week. Mike and I thought we'd take a step back and think about this past year, and while we're at it, celebrate our one-year anniversary doing the podcast together.
Yeah, it's a big day.
Yeah, I got you something, Mike. I mean, it's a dinette set, because I don't know what you get people for anniversaries.
Man, you're the best. I didn't know what I was going to eat dinner on, but...
But now you do.
Now I do.
Now you don't have to eat your cheeseburgers off a Frisbee. Like
like a savage.
Like a savage. You have a good New Year, Mike?
Yeah, I did. I went to a concert. That was a lot of fun.
Cool.
It was good times.
Cool.
What did you do, Mike?
I hung around. I had a couple people at my house, and we drank and watched Netflix, and that was...
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, all right.
I'm really glad you changed up your daily routine for New Year's.
Yeah, pretty much confirming.
You added that. Other people to the mix.
Yep, yeah. Ouch, that was a low blow.
I had to do it.
All right. Well, I guess let's talk about this whole crazy year. It's year 2015. I thought this was a great year for movies and TV.
Yeah.
Just a great year for pop culture in general, specifically with a lot of mainstream stuff. I think studios actually like went all out this year with a lot of their movies. And I think one of the biggest movies is both of our lists, I'm assuming, is Mad Max Fury Road.
It is. Yes, it is. That was the first thing that I wrote down.
Yeah, and this is a movie that kind of just came out of nowhere, you know, when it came out. And, you know, film geeks were pretty excited for it, right? Because George Miller was directing it, doing a new Mad Max movie after 30 years. But I feel like the general public wasn't, you know, super stoked for a new Mad Max movie. And then the movie came out and turned out to be one of the best things this year, possibly my favorite movie of the year. You know, if I had to narrow it down to three movies this year, probably Mad Max Fury Road... Ex Machina and Creed, with The Hateful Eight maybe slipping in there.
Okay,
you know, it's tough for me to actually rank like one movie, you know, like above everybody else. And so instead of doing like a top 10 list or top 5 list, I figured we should talk about the various movies that we saw this year that we really liked. So, and Mad Max Fury Road was huge for me this year.
Yeah, that was a thing that I was not expecting to be as awesome as it was. I was expecting just like, whatever, you know, another Mad Max movie. Like, it's going to be an action movie. Stuff will be blowing up. It'll be cool.
Yeah, I was expecting a certain degree of awesomeness, but certainly not to the amount
that happened. Not Fury Road level awesomeness.
Yeah, like, that's now a thing we can say.
Right.
Like, Mad Max Fury Road is going to be a movie that people compare action movies to for the next several years, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, I think Jeff Cannata said it on the Slash Filmcast, it's going to be the Matrix of this generation of films, where every action movie will be compared to it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like everything was to the Matrix.
Yep.
So I'm excited for what that means for future action movies, if anything can live up to this.
Yeah, if people try to imitate Mad Max, I think we're in for, you know, a good run, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, there were imitators after The Matrix, and most of them were terrible. So.
Yeah, but that's true. So.
I feel like you were about to, like, start an argument against me, and then you were like,
yeah,
I was, but
and then I realized
true.
That you were right, so I came up.
Yeah. Okay, what other movies did you want to highlight in your favorite movies list, Mike?
Well, one that we saw just at the end of 2015, The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, that, which I did just mention, and that is a movie that was awesome. We saw that in the 70mm Roadshow presentation. We reviewed that a week ago. If anybody wants to go back and listen to that one.
nice, Mike. I guess we don't really have to talk about it since that was our last episode. I feel like that's something that will definitely be around for award season, I hope. And
hopefully. I feel like it's too, like, mean-spirited of a movie
to
really thrive at the Oscars or anything like that. And not that the Oscars can't reward that. You know, like,
but they probably won't.
Like, they have in the past, but it's very rare when they, like, really go, like, they go all in for a movie that's very bleak and and not even like The Hateful Eight's a super enjoyable time,
right?
Like, it's not like it's a bleak, like,
it's not a downer.
Yeah, it's not a slog or anything like that. But it's a really enjoyable movie. But, like, for example, the Oscars. I think the last time that the Oscars really went after, like, a movie with a really desolate worldview was maybe No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
You know, even like 12 Years a Slave ends with the slave being freed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, it has a relatively happy ending.
Yeah, as far as that can be had in
exactly.
that movie. Yeah, that's a good point. But I liked it a lot.
Yeah, The Hateful Eight's awesome. Definitely go check it out, especially if you can go see it in 70mm Roadshow.
Yeah.
Which is the way to go, I think. Another movie that I really loved that I feel like has not gotten a ton of coverage since it came out, The Walk, directed by Robert Zemeckis, which is a movie that I talked about in one of our discussions.
Yes.
And when I talked about it, I said, like, this might be one of my favorite movies of the year. It turns out it is.
wow, how weird that you knew that back then about yourself.
Back in the early days of October.
Right.
I loved The Walk. I thought this movie was... so hopeful and so fun and enchanting, and like the act of the walk itself, which takes like the last 20 to 30 minutes of the movie, is some of the most thrilling cinema I've seen this year. I thought it was fantastic and just really exciting stuff. And you know, Zemeckis is a director I've really liked for a long time, but for the better part of the 21st century, he was like just doing these like kind of lame motion capture movies.
Right.
He came out with The Polar Express, and then he did Beowulf, and then A Christmas Carol. And so a couple years ago, he came out with Flight, which was his first live-action movie since Castaway. And, you know, Flight, I really liked Flight, and I think The Walk continues that streak of, you know, him. He's back, and that's good.
Yeah, there it is.
All right. Any other movies you want to talk about, Mike?
Ant-Man. It's another in my top for the whole year.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking back on... what movies did I have a lot of fun with this year? And Ant-Man was definitely in the top for me.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I really liked Ant-Man too. You know, it wasn't, I actually didn't think to put it in my favorite movies, but, it's,
well, now you have.
Fair enough. That's a really fun movie. And, Marvel's been killing it, all over the place.
I mean, I wrote down, I didn't specifically write Ant-Man. I wrote Marvel movies. So,
so Ant-Man and Avengers or,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, just basically anything Marvel. I'm going to be like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I mean, do you prefer Ant-Man to Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yeah, you know what? I think I do. I had more fun during Ant-Man. So it's not that Avengers is not a fun movie. I think that Ant-Man is just more a movie that might be at a small scale, really funny, and it's a heist movie. Like, who doesn't like that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I really liked Ant-Man. I think I personally prefer Age of Ultron, which I actually rewatched a couple days ago because I got it on Blu-ray for Christmas. Yes. And that's it's probably not in my like top 10 of the year if I were to make one, but I think it would be in my honorable mentions.
Okay.
That's a movie that we like in our review of Avengers: Age of Ultron. We like came all over that thing. It was
was the best way you could put that.
But do you remember that review? We talked about it for like over an hour.
I'm sure we did.
And it was just like, oh man, we love the Avengers so much, and this is so much fun. And you know, now that the like we're out of the release date. Like everything's calmed down a little bit. I still think it holds up as one of the best Marvel movies. It explores a lot of deeper themes than they usually do, and it's so clever and so fun. And Joss Whedon's writing is great, and I think Ultron's a great villain. And so Avengers 2 is another movie that I really liked. Maybe not in my top 10, but like it would be my honorable mentions.
It'd be real close.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's that.
All right. What's your next movie, Mike?
Well, I did want to mention Creed, which is obviously the new Rocky movie, the seventh one. And it's just so good. Like it was so, I thought Creed was so powerful on so many levels. Like as a Rocky fan, it's powerful, but even just as like somebody who appreciates like a good drama, or a sports, like an underdog sports drama, I think it hits every button, you know? But the fact that it is a Rocky movie and it can build upon that history while blazing its own trail is something I really admired and respected, and I just really loved seeing it on screen.
Okay, so we talked about Creed.
Yes. So what other movies do you want to talk about, Mike?
The other one is just Star Wars, because, like, obviously.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, we were both pretty big fans of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Actually, I put that in my honorable mentions.
Wow. Okay.
I really like the movie. I'm not. I just felt like there were other movies this year that I thought were better, I guess.
Or that just it should just assumed Star Wars is at the top and just like whatever. Just move. Talk about other stuff.
But yeah, Star Wars Force Awakens. Obviously, I feel like we don't have to say too much about it because it's not like nobody has seen it. You know?
Yeah, and we also dedicated a whole episode to it, which you can listen to.
Yeah, that was the one we did right before The Hateful Eight. So, we dedicated an entire episode to talking about Star Wars, the entire series, and what it means to us, and our reaction to The Force Awakens. And, we both really liked it. I thought it took... personally, I thought it retread the same ground a little too often, but, I mean... It was so much fun while it's doing it, and it sets up the trilogy for really interesting places to go in the future. So that's definitely Star Wars Force Awakens. Other movies that I wanted to mention, are you done with movies?
That's kind of it.
Okay, I mean, I have a bunch more.
Sure, let's do your list, Mike.
Well,
I am just the co-host, after all.
I'll go through them quick. The other movies I wanted to mention that were, like, part of my... like official top movies of the year list. Ex Machina, we talked about a little bit. But that movie is great. Great independent sci-fi movie directed by Alex Garland, who was the writer of Sunshine, 28 Days Later.
Right.
And, you know, that movie really blew me away in a lot of ways, and that it was one of my favorite movies of the year. Other movies that I really liked, Spotlight. Really, really good, just solid journalism movie. Like, it's just, like, you're watching these people solve, like, do reporting. Like, watching these people report on the story, and that's, like, basically the entire thing. It doesn't, like, it has no pretensions about what it is. It just shows you what it is.
It just does.
Yeah, and it does it very effectively. Steve Jobs, which is the new movie by Danny Boyle, stars Michael Fassbender as Steve Jobs, written by Aaron Sorkin. It's fantastic. It's very electrifying. It's energetic. Gets you excited. And has some of the best dialogue this year, probably the best dialogue of any movie this year. So definitely worth checking out. Sleeping with Other People is another movie that I really liked. That's a movie that I talked about in my discussions a little bit. That's a romantic comedy with Alison Brie and Jason Sudeikis. Really funny movie. Like I definitely feel like people should check it out. It feels like a lot more honest than most romantic comedies. It feels more realistic, and those characters and they have great chemistry together. Inside Out, another movie, Pixar's new movie. That was fantastic. Totally brought you through the entire mind of this little girl.
I want to check out. I haven't. I don't know if you saw it or heard about it. Someone took Inside Out and edited out all the inside portions.
I did hear about that. Yeah,
I want to see. I mean, I guess that defeats the purpose of the movie. But I want to see what that's like. I want to see what the story of it is. That seems interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think that's cool. But that movie was really funny and explored. The human psyche in a really interesting way, which is something you don't really see in kids' movies that often.
Definitely.
So a really good movie. And my last one for my main list was The Martian.
Yes. Which is
the new Ridley Scott movie starring Matt Damon, based on the book by Andy Weir. And a lot like Spotlight. It just shows you these people doing their jobs.
Yeah. it's just science, the movie.
Yeah, that's basically the entire thing. And it's really good. Matt Damon's really good and funny and snarky in the role. Yep. The entire cast is fantastic. Probably it's up there as the best cast of 2015. I would say if you have that at the Hateful Eight. But The Martian definitely has the most, the weirdest cast of 2015 because this is such like an odd collection of people. And I think that's really awesome. And Ridley Scott is doing like, it's his best movie in like 30 years. Like it's really fantastic. So those definitely. Are my, yeah. So those are my movies of the, my top movies of the year. And then as some honorable mentions, I mentioned Avengers 2 and Star Wars, but Kingsman, which I just rewatched recently. And
wow, I kind of forgot about that movie.
Yeah. But I think I just rewatched Kingsman and it's still fantastic. I think it's even better actually. It's like now I've seen it again. Like I feel like I liked it a lot more. Furious 7, which,
I'm surprised that only is an honorable mention. For you.
Yeah. I famously declared, in our Furious 7 review that it was, the best movie I had ever seen. that was a little bit of hyperbole, but that movie is pretty great. as well as Bridge of Spies, the Steven Spielberg thriller starring Tom Hanks. Joy, which I just saw the other day, directed by David O. Russell, starring Jennifer Lawrence, which I liked a lot. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which continues the trend of awesome Mission Impossible movies. Right. And finally, What We Do in the Shadows. Which
I have been meaning to see that for a while. Yeah, and I just keep forgetting.
It's a really funny movie starring Jermaine Clement and a couple other people from New Zealand as like vampires live in an apartment together. And it's like a mockumentary about like their lives.
Right.
And it's really funny. I've been quoting it all the time since I saw it a few weeks ago. So definitely check out those movies. I think one of the big things on both of our lists is that there is a lot of like studio movies on there, like mainstream movies.
Yeah.
Stuff that like it's surprising how many good studio movies there were this year because we always have hope. And I feel like a lot of the times we're let down. But this year and last year, I feel like the blockbusters were just like exponentially better than they usually are.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not mad about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, we're living in a golden age. but I think back to like 2013 where like I don't know the best movie of that year was probably like Iron Man 3 or Iron Man 3 Pacific Rim came out that summer, right? I'm not saying the best movie of that year was Iron Man 3. I'm saying that like the blockbuster of that summer was Iron Man 3 Pacific Rim, right? But then there was like Star Trek Into Darkness, which disappointed everybody, and The Lone Ranger, which was
did anyone even see that?
Well, I kind of like The Lone Ranger, but
wow, okay, but I see how it is.
That's a movie that everybody hated except for me. And a bunch of other movies in 2013 that just like kind of failed critically. And then in last year, you had like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Edge of Tomorrow and Captain America the Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then this year, I mean, Fury 7, Avengers 2, Star Wars, Mission Impossible 5, Mad Max Fury Road, and a bunch of other stuff as well. it just feels like there was a lot of like studios have upped their game in the last 2 years to everyone's benefit. Like,
absolutely,
it's only a good thing.
Yeah, I'm excited for what will come in 2016, but we'll save that for later.
Yes, yeah. Well, at the end of our episode, we'll be talking about the upcoming year. But so that's movies. I mean, what are there? What TV did you really like in 2015, Mike?
Well, all of it. No, that's not true. Netflix is crushing it this year. Yeah. Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Okay. Amazing. Yeah, I've only seen Daredevil so far. I've not yet watched Jessica Jones. Daredevil would not make my list of favorite shows.
Yes, I remember. I remember how you didn't like it.
I thought it was fine.
Just fine, Mike.
Just fine. but that said, I do have three Netflix shows on my favorites of the year list.
Nice.
And those are BoJack Horseman, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Master of None.
There you go.
So, yeah. And I also really liked With Bob and David, which I didn't put on the list, but another show that I really liked.
Nice. I also have Fargo, season 2.
I also have Fargo on my list as well. It's crazy because Fargo season 2 started, and during the first few episodes, I was like, I'm not sure if I like this as much as season 1.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I felt like I connected with the characters more in season 1, and all this, that, and the other thing. But by the end of the season, I was pretty convinced that Fargo season two was like a huge step above season one. Like I really enjoyed it. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. I think in terms of like sheer filmmaking, season two of Fargo is like
exactly
leagues beyond everything else.
Yeah. And its structures, it's so much more like more well structured than season one, which I think season one is a really good season of television and I really like it. But
yeah,
there is plot lines in that season that just kind of go like off to the wayside. Like,
yeah,
there's a whole arc, like Malvo's arc in season one where he's like doing the supermarket thing.
Right.
Kind of goes nowhere, right? Like,
yeah, it's kind of just the, yeah.
It doesn't really have much of an effect on the show on later in the season. You know what I mean?
Right. Definitely. Yeah. Season two has this odd effect where I watched that with, I had seen season one, my parents hadn't. So we watched season two while it was airing. And then when it was finished, I was like, you guys need to watch, we should watch season one now since like they hadn't seen it. And season two has this odd effect of making season one better. So if you, like, because it's now it's in chronological order one and the continuity stuff that season two includes makes, I don't know. It just sets up season one really well.
Yep.
So everyone should go back and rewatch season one after watching season two.
Yes.
Cause it's awesome.
Yeah. I'm actually rewatching season one right now with my dad and, it's obviously still really good. So
yeah,
there's that. 2015 also saw the end of several shows. This year, including one of my favorite shows of all time, Mad Men, which had a phenomenal final season and a phenomenal finale. So
I've been told.
Yeah, you don't watch Mad Men because you're some kind of jerk or something. Because
I'm a simpleton.
So there is Mad Men, as well as Justified, which ended this year. And I was sad to say goodbye to Justified. That's a show that, like, I felt like it was hit or miss, like, every season. Like, there would be a season that was, like, the best season of television that year, and then and then the next season would be like, it's fine, you know. But then the season after it would be like amazing again.
Right.
It was like the even number Justified seasons are like even numbered Star Trek movies. Like those are the good ones, and then the odd number ones are, you know, pretty like hit or miss. So this ended on season six, so it was a good season, and nice. And yeah, the finale of Justified was not what I was expecting it to be at all, but it ended up being better than I could have ever imagined.
Nice.
So definitely really good. And Parks and Recreation also ended this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which, you know, I thought, did you watch the final season of Parks and Rec?
I did not, but I saw the finale, which is weird. But
okay. I don't know, I personally thought, like, everybody really liked the final season of Parks and Rec, and I found myself a little underwhelmed by it.
Okay.
I liked the season overall, and I'm a big fan of Parks and Rec, but it felt, I don't know, the season as a whole, and the finale especially, felt less funny to me than previous years, and it kind of went more for the heartfelt emotion type thing, which the show usually does very well,
right.
But to me it felt like, I don't know, it felt like it was reaching a little bit, but...
All right, fair enough.
I did like it. I liked the season, and I thought the finale was, like, sweet. It was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I had some issues with it, but I did enjoy it. So there is that. Rick and Morty is another.
It's on my list.
Big one for this year. Really unlike anything on TV right now.
Yeah. I think it's the bravest TV show that's on right now. Just the leaps that it makes during its episodes, like taking the sci-fi trope and just going as far as possible as you can go with it. And it's so ridiculous. Like, is it the first episode, I think, of season two that splits the, like, deals with infinite realities?
Yeah.
Like, it splits the screen into two with two different versions of on the same split screen. It's outrageous. It's so good. And I wish more shows did stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, Rick and Morty is fantastic. And as well as Community Season 6, which aired this past year on Yahoo Screen, which as of yesterday... no longer exists.
Yeah, so what does that mean for season six of Community?
Well, you can now watch season six Community on Yahoo TV, which is a subsection of Yahoo. I had to go like look into it just to see like how you can watch it now.
Yeah.
So you go to yahoo.com, you go to their TV section, and they actually they actually have a button now that says watch Community.
That's awesome.
And it brings you right to season six Community, which makes it a much easier way to watch Community than Yahoo Screen was.
From what I've heard, Yahoo Screen was the worst.
Yeah, it is a terrible app. It was awful. Like,
at least it's dead.
Yeah, I will forever be grateful to it for bringing back Community.
Right.
But, like, it was so frustrating to try to watch an episode of that show. And it's a shame because there was another show on Yahoo Screen called Other Space, which I've heard is really good and I've been meaning to watch, but I haven't gotten around to. And so this kind of puts that show in jeopardy as well. And Community probably won't be coming back either after the season.
Well, we all know a movie's next, so.
Yeah, I mean, the movie has to come next, and the movie can wrap it up. Although the season ended in a great way where it basically serves as the series finale, and I'm totally fine with it if it ends that way. But
okay.
But I want to see the movie anyway. Like,
yeah, let's be real.
Yeah. And then I just had two other shows I wanted to mention. Better Call Saul.
Yep.
And Leftovers.
Yep. Those are the other two that were on my list as well.
Perfect. Yeah. For my money, I mean, Mad Men was my favorite show on the air at the moment, but now that it's done, I feel like The Leftovers is my favorite show on TV right now. Like, it's really unreal how good that show is. And did you ever watch the finale?
No, I realized God this morning damn, that I haven't God watched the finale yet. I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Just carve out 75 minutes of your day. Just once you're done with this.
I just don't know if I'm ready for whatever soul-crushing thing they're going to do to me.
It's pretty intense. It's pretty intense.
that's my relationship with The Leftovers. Is like I'm always going to come away like really excited about what I just watched, but also really depressed.
Yep.
and I love it for that.
Yeah, that's The Leftovers. And then Better Call Saul. I mean, when you heard that there was going to be a Breaking Bad spinoff, what was your first reaction?
I was like, no. When I heard they were doing a Better Call Saul spinoff, I was really, really nervous.
Yeah.
Because Saul Goodman is the comedic relief of Breaking Bad.
Right, and how do you make, him the entire focus of a show?
Yes, exactly. But they figured it out, so
yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Better Call Saul is fantastic. I think it's every bit as good as Breaking Bad, and yet, while it's still being, basically an entirely different show.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah, you can tell it's the same, it's by the same people, and it feels sort of the same, but it's, at the same time, it feels really different. It feels like it's doing its own thing, and that's really exciting. Yeah. And season two starts in a little over a month, and I'm incredibly excited to see where it goes from there. It's fantastic.
There you go.
All right.
There it is.
So are you, you got all your TV out of the way?
Yeah, we checked everyone off.
All right, me too. So
beautiful.
Those are our kind of just kind of free form ideas of the stuff we really liked in movies and TV over the course of 2015. Obviously there's a lot more that we liked and a lot more that we still haven't seen as well. But that just gives you an idea of what we've been watching and, you know, what's worth watching. So, I mean, now that we're done with that, we did want to mention what our biggest surprises of the year were. We just kind of took us by off guard. Like, wow, this is really good. You know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, Mike, you have you just have one.
Yeah, I have one that stood out to me the most was Ex Machina. Going into that movie, I expected it to be cerebral and awesome. It's a sci-fi movie about artificial intelligence and what that means. But I did not expect how much that movie would make me think about what all of that would be. It's the good version of Chappie, basically.
Okay.
Although I liked Chappie, but this Ex Machina handles that question in such a more refined and serious manner than Chappie does, because, D. Antwoord's not in it.
Man, burn.
Boom. Got him. Suck on that. That's the thing that struck me the most.
Okay. Ex Machina. I really loved Ex Machina. It's definitely it's a movie that I wasn't hearing that much about, and then suddenly it was everywhere.
Right.
That's kind of what I'm looking at there. Some of my biggest surprises of the year: Mad Max, Fury Road, and Creed are things I already mentioned.
I guess I could have put Mad Max in there too, actually.
Yeah, and I think Mad Max, it wasn't that much of a surprise to me. I felt like I knew it was going to be good.
right.
You know, new Mad Max movie from George Miller. Like, the fact that George Miller was making a new one was like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in. But the fact that it was as good as it was, you know.
Right.
And has basically become instantly iconic.
Absolutely, among, yeah.
So, you know, it's that was a pretty big surprise. And Creed is another movie that I guess I wasn't really thinking too much. Like, I feel like I knew it was happening.
Right.
I wasn't thinking that much about it. And then the first trailer hit, and I was like, whoa.
Right.
Like, this looks incredible. I wanted to mention those. Love and Mercy is another movie that took me by surprise, which is the biopic about Brian Wilson from
right.
the Beach Boys. And I like this movie a lot. I left it off of my top movies of the year list, but it's a movie that you know, really plays with the format of a biopic. So, you know, you've seen a lot of musician biopics, particularly,
right.
that kind of just deal with the entire person's life from beginning to end. And that's been done to death. I feel like after Walk Hard, like, there's no need to do that anymore.
Right. It's been done.
Exactly.
It's over.
But this movie does something really interesting, which is it takes, like, it has sets itself in two time periods, once in the 60s and one in the 80s. And, you know, have Brian Wilson being played by two different people, Paul Dano and John Cusack.
Right.
And it just shows you the two different periods in his life. Like, it cuts back and forth between them and shows you the parallels between those two periods. And I found it really interesting. It's really engrossing. And it's a really good movie, especially if you're a fan of the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson. So definitely that was a movie that took me by surprise. I was very happy with that one. And another movie that took me by surprise,
yes.
which we reviewed for the Film Bookcast, The Visit.
oh, my God, I hate you so much.
This is a movie that I enjoyed. I thought it was pretty good. It's a new movie from M. Night Shyamalan, who, in my opinion, has not made a halfway decent movie since Unbreakable in 2000. And I personally think The Visit is a better movie than Unbreakable.
Yeah, I remember from the review.
So, yeah, The Visit is about two kids who visit their grandparents, you know, who they've never met before. And it's a found footage movie, and they're just, like, chronicling their trip to their grandparents, and things start to go horribly awry.
And then M. Night Shyamalan, things happen.
Yeah, and it's sort of a horror comedy, and it's just a really enjoyable time. I really enjoyed The Visit. I think people should.
Don't be ashamed. It's okay.
I'm not ashamed.
Good.
I feel like you're trying to make me feel ashamed, but I'm not.
Aha. Now you're questioning whether or not you liked it.
No, I'm pretty steadfast in
damn it.
That opinion there. But yeah, definitely The Visit. Worth checking out. That gets the Mike Smith seal of approval.
There it is.
And then finally, my biggest surprise, probably my biggest surprise of the year, South mm-hmm. Park Season 19. Which...
that was a surprising answer for your surprises of the year. Good job.
Is it? Because I talked about this a little while ago in the podcast.
You did, yes.
Our discussions. South Park Season 19, you know, while still being really funny and really cutting edge and satirical, managed to imbue continuity in its narrative this year in such a way that turned it into one of the best satires of modern culture. I've seen
impressive.
It in a long time. It turns into like this crazy science fiction narrative that is ultimately about how sponsored content is like killing modern journalism, and
yep.
Several other things go into that as well. And it's really funny and also really interesting, and it just takes on our modern culture in a really funny way. So South Park Season 19 ended up being one of the best sci-fi movies of 2015.
There you go.
So that's definitely worth watching.
Beautiful.
But yeah, those are my biggest surprises of the year. Now we can move on into something that I don't want to dwell too much on, because
right.
I like to keep it, like, you know, upbeat. Like, this is an enthusiastic end of year podcast, but
yeah.
But it is kind of fun to decide what the worst movie you saw in 2015 is. So I have one in mind. Mike, what is yours?
Jurassic World.
Whoa.
Yes.
Ouch.
I'm going there. It's happening.
Wow. Jurassic World. Worse than Fantastic Four.
Okay, well, that was so bad I didn't think about it.
Worse than Jupiter Ascending. Like,
Yes, I'm going there.
Really?
Because Jurassic World had the box office, and that makes me furious. That it had the record.
That's
it made all of the dollars. And I think it was a... Like I said in the review, I think there's a smart version of that film.
Right.
And they were, like, really close, but they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So it just comes off as lame, to me, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Jurassic World was definitely... it's a movie that I thought was kind of fun, but definitely it wasn't anything super special or noteworthy. Yeah. And especially when, you know, you're a big fan of Jurassic Park, like we are.
Right.
You know, it's I personally do think it's the best of the Jurassic sequels.
Okay.
Even though I know you're a big fan of the Lost World.
Lost actually, World, yeah.
So, I don't know.
So
I mean,
take my opinion for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's the visit.
I guess this is maybe...
The Lost World is the visit of Jurassic Park movies.
Perfect. That is perfect. Yeah, maybe it's not the worst film, but it's the one that left the worst taste in my mouth. I'm just upset about
okay.
it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I have a similar answer, actually. Not
okay.
the same movie. And it's actually kind of funny because when we reviewed Jurassic World, you were going...
Is it The Visit? Is The Visit your option?
For worst movie? No. I literally just talked about how much I liked it.
That would be confusing.
But... That's it. Well, it's funny because in our Jurassic World review, you were going off on it saying how much you hated it. And I was trying to defend it a little bit, saying, like, yeah, it was kind of fun. I had fun with it, even though I was able to point out flaws and all that stuff. We're now going to go to the movie that we had the opposite review, where I really hated it, thought it was a piece of shit. And you were kind of like, yeah, it's whatever. It's fun, whatever. And that movie is Terminator Genesis.
Wow.
Which I thought was just, like... Like, I don't understand why you can hate Jurassic World more than Terminator Genesis. That makes no sense to me.
All right, well, like, when you put it that way... Like I said, I think it's because I'm just upset about the fact that Jurassic World was so shitty. And Jurassic Park is so close to my heart.
But, like, Jurassic World has, like, the semblance of a narrative that makes sense. Like, Terminator Genesis just basically rewrites the entire franchise into, like, this... dumb, generic.
Yeah, what if we just travel through Time Bike, though? Then it's fine.
Basically, like, that's the entire movie. And it just it goes back in time, recreates scenes from better movies.
Right.
With lamer actors and, like, and lamer special effects. It's amazing that the special effects look worse in a 2015 Terminator movie than they do in the 1991 Terminator movie.
I don't know how that happened, but it did.
And, you know, Terminator Genesis, you know, it's such a convoluted... mess of a movie, and is not helped by Jai Courtney and Emilia Clarke, who are completely bland in that movie.
Yep.
You know, that movie left a bad taste in my mouth.
Okay.
That was the one that really, like, hurt me very much. And I was thinking about, like, what movie I would choose for worst movie, and yeah, I was thinking about Fantastic Four, Jupiter Ascending, but Jupiter Ascending at least has, like, ambition behind it. Like, I can admire Jupiter Ascending from afar, and I love the Wachowskis, and it has, like, some of that Wachowski flavor to it.
Yeah.
Even though it's a lousy movie, and Fantastic Four is a movie that, you know, is almost kind of good for about half of its runtime, like,
yeah,
the first half, and then, you know, it turns into lousiness. But, you know, for, like, it's not a great superhero movie, but it's an okay science movie.
Sort of. It tries to be, at least.
Yeah. You know, but Terminator Genesis, man, that's the one that really, really hurt me.
All right. There it is.
But yeah, so that's those are our worst movies of the year, Jurassic World and Terminator Genesis. So it's, you know, as much as we've been saying that, you know, Hollywood Blockbuster's got so much right this year.
There's two that didn't.
Here's two that really, you know, struck us the wrong way. We've been doing this podcast for about a year now, Mike.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I think technically it's over a year, right? Wasn't the first test episode?
Our very first episode was the interview.
Right, that's right.
Which we did, right at the beginning of January last year.
Yeah, you're right.
Our first test episode was in like December 2014, where we did a short episode, like an hour long episode detailing the best of 2014.
Yeah, there you go. Right?
Which has not been released, and it probably won't be. You probably won't get to hear it.
But, yeah. I'm sure it was great though.
Oh yeah, it's quality stuff. but I mean, yeah, we've been doing the Film Book Cast for about a year. We've been doing Complete Works for about half of that time. Mm-hmm. You know, what have you learned podcasting, doing Film Book Cast for a year now, Mike?
Well, I learned that preparation is key.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh man, I really thought you were going to spit take. I was so close. yeah, I write stuff down now sometimes.
That's so good. Like,
that's huge.
That's good.
Yeah, I also learned how important the studio is.
Yes, yeah, we started this year being able to record in the studio, but then we moved apart, and yep. Now we have to do it via Skype. And I think we've definitely gotten better at the Skyping aspect of this.
Things have been going pretty well recently.
Yeah, yeah, but I definitely do miss the studio. It was just nice. It was nice to have.
and that's kind of it. Like I said, preparation is key, Mike. Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite review that we've done?
The Star Wars episode was a lot of fun to do a whole episode on something as iconic and important to us as Star Wars.
Yes, yeah, that's a really good one. I like our New York Comic Con episode. Where you got to host, where you got to host for you know, the episode's time. What else? I think our reviews of Jurassic World and Terminator Genesis are a lot of fun.
Those were good ones.
Yes. Our Avengers review, which is literally just over an hour of us gushing over Age of Ultron.
I was going to say, I think that might be the one, because that's like the most of what we do normally. That was the most realistic version of us.
Yep. We're not putting on airs in that one.
That's definitely not.
That's all us. and then what else? I mean, our Fantastic Four review is our most downloaded.
Is it really?
That's our most popular one. Wow. It's that one, and surprisingly, our review of While We're Young.
What?
Those are our two most downloaded episodes.
How about that? Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So we got both crowds. We got the shitty blockbuster crowd, and we got the cool indie movie crowd together in harmony.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
But yeah,
what about you, Mike? What have you learned this year?
What have I learned this year? Well, I mean, I've been preparing these podcasts and stuff over the course of the year. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I've learned the amount of work that goes into putting together one of these podcasts, because you have to set up. Scheduling is probably our biggest issue.
Yeah, that is pretty hard.
Because no matter what, one of us is either going to not be available on whatever certain day we want a podcast, or we'll be sleeping through the time that we set for ourselves.
Yeah. Normally we'll say, we'll meet at noon, and then progressively it's 12:30, 12:45, and it's usually around 1:30.
Suddenly it's like 5 o'clock, and we're like, whoa.
What happened?
Guess we're podcasting tomorrow.
that's happened on many occasions.
That's literally how this podcast came.
Yeah. Yep.
Scheduling has been, you know, some big thing. You know, putting together the podcast, writing out what we're saying, you know, and, you know, it's been fun doing this podcast because you get to, you know, talk about what you like. You get to talk about movies and TV shows and stuff, which is good because a lot of the time, like for me anyway, I watch a lot of stuff that nobody I know watches. You know? There's
just nowhere to talk about it.
Like, I don't know anybody who's watching With Bob and David on Netflix.
Right.
But I get to talk about it here, and that's important.
That's special, Mike.
Yes. So we'll still be doing this for as long as we can, as long as it's, like, feasible.
Yeah.
Unless Unless you, like, quit on me at some point, but...
Actually, I gotta go real quick. but, yeah, thanks to Film Book Cast for letting us do this.
Yeah.
Film Book.
Yeah, Film Book. Yeah, for Rolo Tomasi and the whole Film Book gang, you know.
Yep.
It's been a lot of fun. So, that's what we've... I mean, yeah, that's what we've learned podcasting. Just wanted to throw that out there, because we've been doing it for a year. You know, it's time to reflect. It's a
big
year.
Deal.
Yeah, it is. But 2015 is over, man. It's in the past.
Yeah.
We're done.
Literally, it's now 2016.
Yeah, we're done with 2015. It's not the future anymore. It used to be the future, and now it's the past. We used to go Back to the Future, Part 2, to 2015. And and now we can say goodbye to that, because we are beyond the future at this point.
We're in Back to the Future, Part 3. We go back to see the West.
Yeah.
We're in the third. We're in the next sequel.
Is that what happens? Does 2016 just regress back to 1885?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's how science works.
Okay, so. Good. Good to know. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the Skype call is over then, because the internet's down, right? It's got to stop working for the next 100 years.
Yeah, probably. But then we'll go back to it. It'll be fine.
All right. Well, barring any sort of temporal displacement, 2016 is going to have a lot of movies and TV shows coming out, many of which are pretty big, pretty, like, you know, pretty exciting movies. What are you looking forward to in 2016, Mike?
Okay, the things I'm most excited about are probably Captain America Civil War.
Okay.
I'm just, it's the same shit as I said before. I need more Marvel and more Star Wars. That's what I need.
Well, you'll be getting them.
And I'll be getting those things, and it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, next year, I mean, Captain America Civil War and Doctor Strange are both coming out.
Yeah.
And Rogue One, a Star Wars story, will be coming out next December.
Yeah, I'm super pumped for a Star Wars heist film.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
whatever that entails.
Yeah, just everything about Rogue One makes it seem really cool, and it seems like it's going to be really different from the Star Wars movies that have come before it, and
yeah,
that's what I'm really looking forward to that, because, like, I liked Force Awakens a lot, but I feel like Star Wars could really benefit from just, like, a revitalization of the franchise, something that, like, feels different and feels exciting and fresh.
Yeah.
And I think Rogue One could deliver that in a really cool way. So that's definitely exciting. DC has their movies coming out next year as well. They got Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Right.
And they've got Suicide Squad.
Right.
I don't know. What's your take on those movies? Like, what do you think is how those are going to turn out?
I'm excited to see what happens with Batman vs. Superman. I haven't watched any of the trailers for Suicide Squad yet.
Okay.
Because I'm still unsullied for the most part.
Right.
So I haven't seen that. I don't think that's been played in front of any films or anything yet. But I'm excited for Batman vs. Superman, although I'm a little worried that it's going to just be, like, set up as much shit as possible in one movie.
I feel like it's going to do that, but I don't know. I feel the last trailer I really enjoyed, and so...
Yeah, that's true. It does look like they're doing a unique or interesting way, like, having Lex Luthor kind of, like, be the Joker, like being, like, really flamboyant and eccentric.
It looks like a... I don't know, it looks like a DC Comics, like, video game or something. Like,
right.
It looks like the story mode of Injustice Gods Among Us is what it looks like.
It kind of does look like that. Like,
It just looks really comic booky and, like, really, like, silly but kind of serious at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that is an interesting combo to make, and I'm hoping they can achieve it. Because Man of Steel is a movie that, you know, I thought was really flawed and I didn't care for that much. But it has good ideas there, and there's good stuff in it. And so I'm hoping Batman vs. Superman can build on those good ideas and just make a kick-ass sequel with Batman and Wonder Woman in it.
Correct. That's true. It should be awesome. But yeah, like I said, I haven't seen anything about Suicide Squad, so I don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I saw the trailer for Suicide Squad, and it is, I don't know, I think it looks all right. People are freaking out about Suicide Squad. A lot of people think it's really good. I don't know. To me... Like, it looks like if a Hot Topic manager, like, made a movie, this is what it would look like. Like, it feels
I'm
like...
I'm sure that wasn't... I'm sure that was definitely, like, how can we sell the most shit to, like, emo teenagers?
Yeah, like, it feels like, you know, stuff that would have been considered edgy, like, 10 years ago is what this movie's going for.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But, you know, I'm open to it, and I think... there is good stuff in that trailer. I think Margot Robbie looks fantastic as Harley Quinn. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm eager to see it. Other big movies coming out next year, Finding Dory, which is the new Pixar film,
right.
And the sequel to Finding Nemo, which should be interesting at the very least. You know, we'll see how that goes. I mean, Inside Out did just come out, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird. We're getting the Pixar sequels to movies that, like, when we were kids.
Yeah, and, that's definitely intentional.
Yeah, you
know,
definitely.
Because I know we're going to go see him.
Right.
Because we liked him when we were kids. That's exactly. Like how it goes. You know, and that works really well with Toy Story 3, for example.
Absolutely. That was the that was, like, the most obvious example.
Yeah. But this one won't be, like, this one won't be in real time like the Toy Story movies were.
Right. Exactly.
You know, this is going to be, I think this takes place, like, 6 months after the events of Finding Nemo.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'll go back into that world. Like, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. It's not like I'm not going to see it.
Fair enough. We'll probably review it. But there's that. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the new Harry Potter movie, or the new spinoff to Harry Potter, which takes place in 1930s New York. Stars Eddie Redmayne as Newt Scamander, and he's writing the book Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I don't know. Everything about that movie just sounds awesome. J.K. Rowling's writing the script. I'm pretty pumped for it.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know that was going to be set in the 20s. So
you didn't know that until until I just said that right now.
Yeah, I think you had told me once before.
Okay,
but I'm excited because I've never read the books or that fantastic, like the book of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I knew it was just like a textbook, right?
Yeah, literally, it's a glossary of the various creatures that are in the Harry Potter universe.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I think it's a really interesting source material. Although, granted, they make movies out of Battleship, so
yeah, fair enough. So, like if that can do it, you know,
yeah,
anything can. And then there's Ghostbusters,
right?
The new movie of Paul Feig, rebooting the Ghostbusters franchise with the all female cast: Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones. That's pretty exciting. Like,
yeah,
have you seen the images for Ghostbusters that have come out? Because it actually looks great. And there's no trailer or anything yet, but this. Like, the look of the movie looks really good. Like, all the characters look like Kate McKinnon in particular looks just like a female Egon.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be a big opportunity for female-led movies. Like, it's why is it taking this long?
Yeah, well, I mean, 2015 actually had a lot of female-led movies and a lot of, like, big franchises.
It's
like,
true.
You can argue Mad Max Fury Road is more a Furiosa's movie than anything else. Like, Charlize Theron is basically the lead of that movie. But also, Star Wars Force Awakens. Rey is the main character of that movie.
Definitely.
You know, played by Daisy Ridley. And, you know, there are other ones as well. You know, Rebecca Ferguson, Mission Impossible.
Right.
I am blanking now.
Now that you're on the spot.
There was the final Hunger Games movie.
Right.
You know, Joy also with Jennifer Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, there's more. Like, I'm not...
Oh, so there's, good.
There's more, but it's definitely good to see that, you know, something like this can happen and is coming out.
Right.
You know, and then after that, I mean, there's Assassin's Creed. Which is the movie adaptation of the video game series starring Michael Fassbender and directed by the guy, Justin Kurzel, who directed Macbeth this past year.
I didn't know it was that guy.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. I feel like that could be, like, I feel like it has potential to be the first good video game movie.
Yeah.
You know? Or.
In theory.
Unless Warcraft is really good.
Yeah, that's true also.
Which I actually, like, I don't know. The trailers for Warcraft do not, like, inspire confidence in me. No. But it's directed by Duncan Jones, who I really like. So I'm pretty conflicted about this.
Yeah, it could. That has the potential to go either way.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But then there's the new Bourne movie with Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass coming back.
Right.
Which is pretty exciting because the last Bourne movie was with Jeremy Renner, and it was terrible.
And it was not a Bourne movie.
Yeah, it was a Bourne movie in name only.
Right.
Which is literally, I think it's called, like, the Bourne Legacy, because it's about the legacy of Bourne, as opposed to being about Bourne, like, because it's a dirty trick.
Analysis.
Yeah. And then there's Star Trek Beyond is coming out next year on the 50th anniversary, or it's coming out, like, this year is the 50th anniversary of the Star Trek franchise, like, when it first premiered. And so they're coming out with a new movie, the whole new cast. I mean, well, the same cast in the last two movies.
Get your lies straight, Mike.
With Idris Elba as the villain and directed by Justin Lin, who did most of the Fast and Furious movies.
Right.
So I've not seen the trailer for Star Trek Beyond, but I heard, like,
heard some pretty mixed reviews. Reactions.
People weren't too crazy about it. But I don't know. It seemed like it sounds like it was pretty in line with J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies. So you know, I'm interested. Like I like Star Trek. I think Justin Lin's a good director, and you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, I think, is great.
It's the 2009 one.
Yeah. One's really good. And Star Trek Into Darkness, I think, is disappointing. But, you know, I'm eager to see where the franchise can go from here.
Right.
But then there's the movie that... My most anticipated movie for next year is the new movie by Shane Black. Which is called The Nice Guys. And stars Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. And it's like a 70s set detective story. Just with them as like buddy cops. Not even cops. Cause I think Russell Crowe is like a private investigator. And Ryan Gosling is just a guy tagging along with him. and if you've seen the trailer, the Red Band trailer particularly, it's really funny. It just feels like classic Shane Black-isms.
Right.
You know, it's just so exciting and so funny and so like cool, and you know, it kind of reminds me of Inherent Vice a little bit.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe just in like its setting and like the way certain characters behave, but
right.
It feels like a Shane, like if Shane Black did Inherent Vice, I guess is
wow
what I'm saying there.
I'm on board.
Yeah. So definitely, The Nice Guys is what I'm really excited for next year.
All right.
And then there's a couple other movies. Neighbors 2 is coming out next year. yeah, I love Neighbors. I think that.
I know you do. That's awesome.
Yeah. Have you seen Neighbors?
No, I haven't seen it.
Really?
Yet.
Oh, it's the best. Rose Byrne deserves an Oscar for Neighbors.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm not even joking. I think she's fantastic in that movie.
Bold statement.
So Neighbors 2 is coming out, and it's all the same people who did Neighbors. So I have hopes. You know, I'm always like skeptical of comedy sequels, but
yeah,
you know, it's all the same people: Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, Rose Byrne, Nicholas Stoller's coming back to direct. I mean, it's basically like the plot of the movie is I guess a new frat or a sorority moves in next to them now.
Oh my god!
And so they have to enlist Zac Efron's help in order to get rid of them. I think is what's happening. And the sorority members are being played by Chloe Moretz is like the main one.
Okay.
So you know, see what happens.
I like it.
Yeah. And then there's that. And Seth Rogen's another movie coming out called Sausage Party, which is like an animated movie that's been in the works for a while, which I'm pretty excited for. Steven Spielberg's new movie, The BFG, is coming out.
I didn't know he was doing a Dune movie.
Zing.
Zing. Pretty sure we made that joke last time.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear that joke every time I mention the movie until it comes out, and probably for a while afterwards. so yeah, I mean, there's that, and then of course the Angry Birds movie and The Purge 3, or the
oh, you twat. Yeah, they're gonna be great, I'm sure.
You never know. You know, this time last year people were saying that the Lego movie was gonna be terrible, and you know what? It was great. So,
and it was wonderful, you're right.
So I think the Angry Birds movie should be warranted just as much, I don't know, leeway or something.
You couldn't even finish it.
I can't even finish that joke. Obviously, the Angry Birds movie is probably going to be terrible. But, yeah.
Think about how much money they're going to make in merchandising, Mike.
Probably some. I don't know. True. I feel like Angry Birds movie has, like, it's like 4 years too late, like for an Angry Birds movie. Like that
100%.
Game, that game was super popular a long time ago. It's like if somebody made a Temple Run movie in like 2019, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Or I've like Trivia Crack was popular like 6 months ago.
Yeah, man.
So if you put
I can't wait for that movie.
If you put that movie into production now, it'll be done like 2 years after everyone's done with Trivia Crack. I feel like that's the problem.
Yeah,
is that like smartphone app games are forgotten so quickly?
Yeah, probably because they're a smartphone app game.
Exactly, like they're not like super. Yeah, you know, whatever. So,
classic.
But yeah. So, are there any other movies, any things that you want to talk about, like that you're looking forward to in 2016?
No, I think we covered most of them.
Okay,
I'm glad you got Purge 3 in there, Mike. Thanks.
I never saw. You know, I really liked the first Purge. I don't know if you saw The Purge.
I haven't seen those. Want to.
The Purge is pretty good. I actually saw The Purge twice in theaters. well, the first time I took my girlfriend at the time to go to it. And the second time, I took a different girl.
Oh my god!
To it. Well, that was. I had broken up with the previous girl at that time, and.
All right. Okay, good save.
It was a new girl. It was a good date movie, is what I'm saying. Is all I'm saying.
You heard it here first, but people.
That would be. I would put that on the poster. The Purge, a good date movie.
I'm just impressed that you broke up with a girl and went on a date with another girl in the same time span to see the same movie.
Well, I didn't do it just to see the same movie twice.
That's not what I meant.
And
need an excuse to see The Purge again. What am I going to do?
To be fair, okay, so the movie came out in, like, June. Like, May or June. I saw it, like, when it first came out, like, opening weekend or something. And then I think it was, like, it was in the like, second run theater when I saw it the second time.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
So it was maybe, like, a month after it had left the first theater.
All right, that's a little better.
But, yeah. That's my Purge story. But
you
anyway.
You had a Purge the first girlfriend.
Anyway, The Purge is pretty good. I never saw The Purge 2. I kind of like to.
You gotta find a girlfriend, though.
Yeah, that's the mission before Purge 3 comes out. The goal is to take three girls to The Purge 3.
I have faith in you, Mike. You can do it.
All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up.
Yeah, on that note.
Man, it's going to be a good 2016. I can feel it.
Only 5 days in. We got this.
All right. Mike, where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at twitter.com/mdfilmblog. And if you like Dungeons & Dragons, you can find my group and I, we stream our games at twitch.tv/geonerd79. And we'll be playing on January 15th. Yep. That's our next game.
Okay, cool. And you can find me at twitter.com/msmithfilmblog, all of my podcasts and stuff at filmbook.com, and you can also find me now on Letterboxd.
What?
Yeah, are you familiar with Letterboxd, Meg?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I'm not 100% sure what it is.
Letterboxd is like a social networking site for movie nerds.
What?
Yeah, it's a... I had one, but I didn't really use it for a while, and I don't know, with the new year, I just felt like, yeah, might as well toss it on. So you can follow me on Letterboxd. My name is Mike Smith Film, because that's all that could fit in in the thing. But Letterboxd is basically a way you can, like, kind of keep track of what movies other people are watching, and that kind of stuff. You keep, like, your own running diary of movies you watch.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. It's like fun. It's a cool site, so you can find me there as well. Thank you guys so much for listening to Film Bookcast for today and for all of 2015. If you're listening to this review via our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, take a moment to give us a review. Any and all feedback, compliments, topic discussions, even hate mail, if you have your own Purge story, send it directly to podcast@filmbook.com. That's film-book with a dash in the middle of film and book. Please list the podcast you're emailing about and the title of your email. We produce so many different ones, it's hard to keep track. We would love to hear from you. Join us for a new episode of Complete Works next week, in which Mike and I will be discussing Nicolas Cage's role in 1987's Moonstruck. And then join us in 2 weeks, where Mike and I are going to be reviewing a movie, and I'm going to let Mike decide what movie we're going to review right now out of the two choices that I give him.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
All right, tell me.
All right. I feel like I know which one you're going to go with.
Chappie 2.
The Chappening.
Okay, what are my options?
Your options are this: 13 Hours,
okay,
which is the new Michael Bay Benghazi movie.
Yes, everyone knows, completely historically correct.
Yeah, hashtag Benghazi, which I do want to see, by the way.
Okay,
or The Revenant.
I'm not 100% sure which one I want to pick. You know, 13 Hours sounds pretty good, but I think The Revenant wins.
All right, so I guess we're going to be reviewing The Revenant. I mean, I do want to see 13 Hours, actually, because I've kind of grown an appreciation for a lot of Michael Bay's non-Transformers movies. Like, he's made terrible non-Transformers movies as well.
Right.
But, you know, I like his last non-Transformers movie, Pain and Gain, I thought was, like, amazing, and genuinely one of my favorite films of that year. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm interested in seeing what 13 Hours is like. It could be a lousy movie. It probably will be. I'm not even. Yeah.
But you're gonna have to see it and keep your opinions to yourself.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I hope.
I didn't mean to hurt you so much, but
no, I was thinking about something. I hope that Hillary Clinton gets put on trial because for her involvement in watching 13 Hours.
You're the worst.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to Film Bookcast. We are out. Fantastic Book.